as we observe our 45th year sharing the saving grace of Jesus Christ with the world and encouraging believers in their faith, we are so grateful for your love and support. In today's sermon, Is There Any Good News from God? Dad will share scripture to help us when we are discouraged. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and here we are. We're back again at the end of the week, and we're coming to worship with you and all of us joining together around the throne of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And I'm going to be preaching about a sermon entitled, Is There Any Good News from God? And I got some news for you. We've got a lot of good news from God. So maybe you can call a friend or something, tell them to tune us in, and then we'll just worship together. So let's just ask the Lord to help us. Dear Lord, may this service honor you in all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to read some of the letters. We get so many nice letters, and I know you like to hear from some of these people. So let's see what we got. Glendale, California. And this is a lady. She writes, Shalom. First time to hear you. Appreciated your sermon on the prophet Samuel. You said it all, and I needed to hear it. I'm 88. Lord bless you and the word. And you know, every month we hear from somebody tuned in for the first time. And that's why we urge you to tell your friends and tell them, tune them in. Here, tell them, look at this preacher here. He's 95 years old. And look at see if he can make it through a service. You know, just have a game out of it. And let's just all get together and worship the Lord together. Well, let's see here. Pataskala, Ohio. Now, don't write to me because I know that isn't right. So God bless you. And I apologize. And this is from a lady, and she said, thank you for sending me your newsletter. I take it to work and share it with a young gal who enjoys it so much, as much as I do. And so she's talking about a little paper we put on every month. It's a little Bible study called The New Song, The New Song. And every month that's a different subject. And so now then during this month of June, We have a study on eight ways you can overcome discouragement. So if you have any time when you're discouraged, we got eight different things that you can use. And if one of them doesn't work for you, well, let me know. We'll get number nine. We'll do something. We'll never give up. Here's Huntsville, Alabama. We lived in Alaska for 5 years and attended a local church. However, many times my parents were sick and found it so comforting and rewarding to listen to your services. We appreciate your long career of service to the Lord. And I was just so good to hear from this folks. They were up in Alaska worshiping and now they're in Alabama worshiping. And so, you know, when you move, you can probably find us because we're on a lot of stations. We're on satellite. We're on internet. And as a matter of fact, it's hard to get away from us. And so if you want to look it up, you just get our website. And it's ChristianWorshipHour.com. ChristianWorshipHour.com. And it's just a beautiful website. And you can see the picture, little bios of the musicians and something about me and everything. Oh, it's just a wonderful thing. So just tune us in. One more letter I want to share. Harristown, Illinois. I love your expression that sometimes you felt lower than a snake's belt buckle. That describes my feeling most of the time. And so, all of us have times when we're maybe just a little bit down, a little things happen to us, and we're feeling a little down. Well, you can just to put your faith in Jesus. And you remember Jesus says, in the world, you'll have tribulation. You're going to have tribulation. It comes to all of us, every Christian. Well, it comes to everybody in the world, but especially to Christians who were living for the Lord. And Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation in the world. But he says, rejoice, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm greater than the world. That's John 16, verse 33. And so maybe you're having some troubles today and you wanted to just look to Jesus and get some strength and help. Well, those are some of our letters. Now we get a lot of letters and we read every one. And at the close of the service, I'm going to give the address. I'm not going to take time to do it now. So get your pencil and paper, and then I hope that you'll write to us and send a gift to help us, because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And St. James says, you have not because you ask not. So because if we don't tell you have a need, you probably figure, oh, they got plenty, they're running out of their ears, they don't need any help. But James says, if you're short, it's your own fault because you didn't tell people. So we need your help. We'll talk about that at the close of the service. But today we want to look at this wonderful story, this wonderful message. Is there any good news from God? You notice I didn't write a sermon on, is there any good news from man? If you want to see what man is doing, just watch the evening TV or listen to the evening telecasts, the news that's happening in the world, and you'll see what man is doing. And there's death and disaster and disease everywhere. There's hunger and starving and people neglected. There's babies crying. There's old people suffering. And there's war and battle and fussing. And they're into politics. And Lord have mercy if you're in politics. And it goes on and on and on. And they end up at just, you just have to take an Alka-Seltzer or something like that. Get away from it. Is there any good news from man? The wickedness of man shows, the selfishness of man shows, and it's worldwide. And so that's what we get from man. So I'm not going to preach about any good news from man because there isn't a lot of there. But is there any good news from God? And let me tell you, there is plenty. There's just wonderful, wonderful good news from God. So let's look at some of the good news that we have from God. First thing I put down is that God loves me. God loves me. God tells me that he loves me. Everybody wants to be loved. Sometimes you'll see somebody and say, I don't care if you love me or not. It doesn't make any difference to me. But down in your heart, we do want to have somebody to love us and to care for us, see? And God loves us. And you say, oh, I've been so sinful and I've done so many bad things. He won't love me. He loves you. He doesn't love your sin, but he loves you. He wants you to come to him. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But in John 3:16, we're told, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever liveth and believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you, my friend, whoever you are, wherever you are. In St. Paul's Cathedral in London, there's a life-size marble statue of Christ, and he's writhing in anguish on the cross. And the statue is subscribed, this is how God loved the world. And so Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he loves you so much that he went to the old rugged cross, died on that cross. And he died for us when we were yet sinners, when we were enemies, where we were taking his name in vain, where we were breaking all of the commandments. He still loved us. Paul writes about that in Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 to 8. He says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet for a good man some would dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. Listen to this. Commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. So here we are. We're cursing his name when we're living in sin and we're doing things we know we shouldn't do and we don't give a hang. And while we're doing that, Jesus goes to the cross. And he dies to pay for all of our sins. And all we have to do is to come to him, forsake our sins as best we can, and come to him and ask him to come into our heart and take away our sin. And he'll wash us clean. And he says, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, Isaiah 1:18. And so he loves you so much that he'll come into your heart if you ask him in. And then you turn from your sins, live for him the best you can. You see the love of Jesus when you see him, Peter. Look at what Peter did. Peter sinned grievously. He denied that he knew Jesus. He was against it all. And yet Jesus died for him. And when he was resurrected, Jesus went to Galilee and talked with Peter and recommissioned him. wonderful Jesus. And so just remember this, dear friend, He loves us. And sometimes people say, well, I don't know if I love Him. I want to love Him and I wish I could love Him, but I don't know if I do or not. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus loves us, and it's not whether how much we love God, but it's that God loved us. And you remember when Lazarus was so sick, and Mary and Martha went to and sent word to Jesus, and they sent word, and they didn't say, Lord, he loveth thee, so come because he loves you. No, they sent the message, and they said, Lord, whom thou lovest is sick. And so it's not so much that we love God, but that he loved us. And when we come to him, he'll receive us and help us and bless us. And then we read, and the second thing I put down is that God loves us and then God will save us. The Apostle Peter tells us, 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when he talks about perish, he means go to hell. He is not willing that he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And sometimes people say, well, God puts us in hell. No, he doesn't. We put ourselves there because Jesus died on that cross and he says, whosoever will may come and you can come to me and be cleansed of your sins and you'll never go to heaven. You'll never go to hell. You'll go to heaven. But you say, I'm not going to follow Jesus and I'm not going to believe in him. And I'm not going to try to follow the teachings of the Lord and I'm going to live my own life foot loose and fancy free. And that's where you're going to perish. You're going to be gone. And I know exactly, God knows exactly where our sins are. And yet he tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. All of our sins are taken away. And then he tells us, third, God will keep me safe. That is, after we accept Jesus, he keeps us safe. We won't slip and go back into hell or go back into the evil ways. He'll save our soul and he'll hold us. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 27, 8, and 29. My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And listen to what he says. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He holds us in his hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so here is this wonderful Jesus, and he holds us. We don't hold on to Jesus. He holds us when we receive him into our heart. Oh, I hope you've done that. And if you haven't, I hope before the service closes, you will. And then we go on, God will give me help. He will give us help along the way. He says in John 16, 23, 33, these things have I spoken unto you that ye might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so when we put our faith in the dear Lord Jesus Christ, he washes all of our sins away. And then he holds us. He gives us help to live the Christian life. When we pray to him, he helps us. And sometimes we may have troubles and we ask him to take us out of those troubles, and maybe he will and maybe he won't. Maybe he wants us to go through those troubles and he'll be with us and help us to go through the trials of life. St. Paul was a godly man, and that's what he talks about. St. Paul says that he had a thorn in the flesh and he prayed that it might be taken away from him. And he prayed. And God says, Paul, don't pray anymore to have that thorn in the flesh taken away. We don't know what it was. Something in the flesh, sickness or eyesight or something. I don't know, blindness, whatever it was. And he says, God says, Paul, I'm not going to take that away from you. He doesn't heal everybody. And so then what does he do? He helps us to go through the battle and to carry that. And Paul says, I have a thorn in the flesh. I'm going to keep that thorn and I raise it up. I glory in my infirmity. That's what he says. And so he'll help us to go through. He'll help us all the way. He'll never leave us. And then we're told in another thing, another good news from God, God will watch over me. He says, I will watch over you. My eyes will be upon you. I'll give you strength and help at all times. And he says, for instance, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So when we're in God's will, doing God's will, he'll always give us the strength. And he'll never ask us to do something that we can't do. He'll never ask the impossible. And he'll just give us strength and help as we love him and trust him. He is so wonderful. And he says he'll give us strength. For instance, you see it in Elijah by the brook Cherith. And he's going to, and there's a famine in the land. And the king is going to try to kill Elijah. And so God says, you go by that brook Cherith. And you just stay there and you have good water you can drink. And there's no food for you there, but I'll have the ravens. And the ravens will come every morning and they'll come every night and they'll bring you food. And that's what Elijah did. And I've thought of that so many times. You sit there and you think, oh, are those birds going to show up? It's about supper time. I don't see any birds. Where in the world are they? But just in the nick of time, just on the right time, at God's time, and God is never too ahead of time or behind time, there came those old ugly black ravens carrying, bringing some food in their bills. I don't know how they carried it. Maybe they had a little basket that they carried. I don't know how they did it. But they fed him, and he had, as long as God wanted him there, the birds fed him. Then God wanted him to move, so the brook dried up, and then he moved on to Zarephath and some other places. That's what God does for us all the way through the life. He helps us, and then he goes on and he says, he will protect us. And so we're hidden in Jesus, and we're safe in Jesus. And this wonderful Lord Jesus, you see, he takes care of us, and he's so always with us. And he's a part of us, and we're a part of him. And see, we're in Christ. And for instance, in Colossians 3, verse 3, God tells us, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. We are in Christ, and we are in God. It's just like this. It's take a sponge and put it in a bucket of water. Now, is the sponge in the water, or is the water in the sponge? They're all one, aren't they? And when we accept Jesus, he makes us his child. He cleanses us. He washes us of our sin with his own blood. And then he gives us righteousness so we can enter heaven. And then we are part of Christ, and Christ is a part of us, and he is with us at all times. Again, we're told, the psalmist says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. And she shall set me up upon a rock, Psalm 27. And then we go on and we see that God will help us. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord, Psalm 144 and verse 14. And so God says, I'll help you all through life. And you'll come to times when you don't know what way to turn. You don't know what to think, and you don't know how to plan. And just to take it to the Lord. We're told in Proverbs 16:20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. Whosoever trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. And in Psalm 34 and verse 5, this beautiful scripture, they looked upon him, Jesus. They looked upon Jesus and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The Revised Version has it, and their faces were radiant. David looked to the Lord God, and he was not afraid, and he was happy, and he rested his case, this David. Hannah had the same thing, and she went to the Lord, and she prayed. And after she prayed, and she did eat, and her countenance, says, was no more sad, because Hannah went to the Lord, and he blessed and he helped her, and she was no more sad. And then we look unto God. We have the light and the joy. and our face, we don't have to be ashamed and we don't have to worry. We just have to trust in Jesus. That's what David did. He trusted in God. He said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard me. He said, this poor man, that is a single man of all the millions of people. Here's a single one, one man, David. And there's just one man with me. And there's one person with you, a woman, a boy, a girl, a young people, young person. There's just one. You're one of a kind. You're unique, made by God. And God sees you. And David says, here I am all alone. And I don't know what to do. And God is saying, David, you're important to me. And David says, I cried. This poor man cried. And the Lord heard me. And David was brought out of his troubles and out of his trials. Now, sometimes, as I say, we're going to have troubles and trials, but God's going to help them all, help us along all the way. Never leave us or forsake us. And sometimes we may feel like, oh, I don't feel God. I don't know if God is right with me. Don't go by your feelings. You just trust God. And he says, I'll be with you. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5, and he'll keep his word. And then one more thing I put down, the good news from God. God will take me home someday. The best is yet to come. And I'm in this world, and it's kind of a tough old world, a wicked old world. And this wonderful Jesus, he'll be with me to help me and take me through. Jesus talked about that. And you remember here after the resurrection, after the crucifixion, and then the resurrection and all of the rest. And then Jesus talks to him, and he's preparing to before the cross and everything. And he says, I'm going to have to leave you, but I'll send the Holy Spirit to help you. And then they didn't know what to do. And what could they do without Jesus? They were counting on him and leaning on him. And Jesus said in John 14:1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then he says, and that's what he's always saying to his people. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. Don't be anxious. Just trust me. And then he said, I'm going to tell you where you're going to go. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. You'll have your own room with your own name on it. Won't that be something? And in my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then Thomas, doubting Thomas, I call him honest Thomas. He had questions and he let him know about it. And he says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? I want to go to heaven, he's saying. I want to go to that place, but I don't know how to get there. And Jesus says, I'll tell you how to get to heaven. I am the way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then Jesus made it very plain and very narrow. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. No man gets into heaven but by me, Jesus. You see, the way to heaven, I love the church. I've been in the church 73 years helping. But the church can't save you, and ritual can't save you, and works can't save you, and money can't save you. The only way to heaven is through a person, Jesus. And you have to have him. And you say, I want him. How do I get Jesus? And you just do this. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in. That's the door of your heart. And you say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. And I promise to forsake them and live for you the best I can. You see, Jesus taught repentance, and repentance means a turnabout, turn face. And so then you say, I just ask you to come into my heart, and I'll to leave my evil ways the best I can, and then thank Jesus for saving you. And then you get into a Bible study, and we'll send you some literature. I'll tell you about it in a minute. but you just trust Jesus and walk with Jesus, and you won't never be perfect, but every time you sin, you ask him to forgive you, and he'll do it. Now, if you've accepted Jesus, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Be sure to get this down now, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Those on shortwave, you be sure to get that too. Love to hear from you. And then you write to us, and we need to have your help. And so you say, now, dear Lord, is this something that you want? Do you want this service to go on? And are they honoring your name? And if you think, and if God will say, then you ask him. And if he says, yes, you need to support it, then you say, how much should we send? And then you send that. And we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization. And they audit our books and they check everything out. And so it's safe. Christian Worship Hour. We got it on the screen there. Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just praying today that there'll be multitudes come to you and receive you as their Savior. And we're praying for those, Lord, who are in beds of sickness and those who may be lonely. We're praying for the persecuted church in India today. And dear Lord, I pray that you'll just help them and encourage them. Help them to know that people all around the world are praying for the people, persecuted church in India. We pray for the young people that are having such a struggle now with drugs and all the rest of it, and pray that they'll turn to you and find help. And the lonely and the weary and the shut-ins, may your blessing be upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. So we'll see you next week. In the meantime, be sure to write. We have to hear from you. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. All you folks on that are on the short wave. I wish we could give you our screen, but we can't. So we hope that you'll write. And let's all pray for each other and pray for the people in India especially. But let's pray for you. Pray for us and we'll pray for you. And then next week, we'll all gather together. And in the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit of God, we'll gather at the very feet of Jesus at the throne of God. And he says we can come boldly before the throne when we are his children. And we've come to him and we'll worship him. So we'll be thinking about you. We'll be looking forward to seeing you. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. And we'll see you next week. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.